Hey, Kyle.
Hey, Root Rock.
Have you ever listened to Johnny T's podcast?
No.
Yeah, me either. So, I mean, this is like an intro we're going to do for him.
Where's he from?
He's from Nottingham.
Like the real Nottingham?
Well, I'm assuming it could be like one of those things that is pretty common, but, I mean, it appears that he lives in the actual Nottingham area where Little John and Robin Hood possibly did their stuff and fooled the, you know, the dastardly king. Who was the king?
Call him Joe.
Joe. King Joe. King Joe was the bad guy, and then you got Sheriff Nottingham, and then they had Sherwood Forest. And they would do their thing in Sherwood Forest. They would, like, hide in the leaves, and Kevin Costner would do whatever he had to do. And Christian Slater would be, like, kind of like, oh, that might be my brother or whatever.
Yeah.
It turns out it is. And
shooting arrow.
Shooting arrow. So that's Nottingham I think they live in. So this is, I think, his fourth episode. And what they do is they go in there and they go to a bar. They hit the pub and they get a pint. They get drunk and they discuss horror movies.
Sounds like a good format.
I think monthly they do it.
Okay.
Yeah. So there you go. All right. Well, enjoy Johnny T's episode 3 or 4 or whatever it may be.
We're clapping ourselves. We can't clap anything yet.
I thought we normally start the show just by clapping ourselves.
We've not done any cast of pod at all yet.
Oh, okay.
No. It's been fucking ages, haven't it?
Well, it's been Christmas.
Been a while.
It's not
been
to the listeners.
It's been a month. Well, yeah, obviously not long enough to them because they're just going to be quite happy. Back.
They've lived happy lives in the meantime before the terror of the podcast
has returned.
Yes,
as we have some twats ranting about bugger all.
Exactly.
So anyway, here we are again. Yes, welcome back.
Here we are. We're back again with episode of whatever it is, 5 or...
Well, I'm confused with the episode.
Let's not do that again.
No. Well, it changes each time. Episode 1, this is, isn't it?
Yeah, we're back. Hello, we are a new podcast.
Yeah, this is The New Hope. Episode 1, The New Hope.
New Hope, yeah.
Mm. We're doing a George Lucas
well,
kind of countdown.
Well, it's better than that big fat... chin twat. We're off.
Oh, already a major insult to a talented director.
Is he? And went Walker Ranch wherever he lives.
It's changed people's lives. Without him, the world would be a poorer
place. Yes.
Oh, yeah. He ripped off the Seven Samurai and turned it into space.
We've gone all Quentin Tarantino, have we?
Quentin. Yes. Who is this Quentin you speak of? Is that the posh Tarantino?
Yeah.
Anyway, how was you all doing? Did you have a nice Christmas and things and stuff?
No.
It was shit.
It was all ill.
I had a great Christmas, man. I loved mine.
Yeah, because you didn't see any of us.
No, I went away from the lurking, written cockheads up here.
you weren't coughing up green slime every 10 minutes.
There you go. Yeah. No, see.
That was our Christmas. Quite Christmas really. With the green slime.
We turned into our fucking own Christmas monsters, didn't we?
Yeah, you can't beat a Christmas monster.
No.
But it did mean that you could stay in bed and watch endless episodes of Star Trek and just feel sorry for yourself.
That'd be even worse for me. I don't like Star Trek.
Oh, I loved it.
Did you?
First series, yeah.
No, are you really original Star Trek?
Yeah.
Not really a Trekkie fan, no. It's all a bit geeky for me.
Trekkie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. The original series, maybe, just for the sort
which is
of,
just
you know,
reminding me
value.
Of something which is.
Oh,
got
go on, ready. Share it.
Here we go.
No, it'll be coming along later.
Is it in your new news section?
It might be in my new news section.
Your new news?
Oh, my news section. No, it's not in the news section.
Oh, yeah, by the way, we've got a new section.
Rob's been promoted.
Rob's been promoted.
From General Bollocks to reading it with a news theme behind.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's got his own theme tune.
I've been waiting years to be promoted.
He's got his own theme tune.
I'm quite pleased to have been promoted up the ladder, up the podcast ladder.
Yeah, he's been waiting for it up the ladder for years.
Yeah,
now he finally has it up the ladder.
This is.
So, yes, Well, we'll crack on, but I'd just like to say thank you for Mr. Root Rock for the new intro for this show.
You're thanking him for that.
Hey,
I'd be suing him.
Behave. No, then behave.
Shit. There's some money involved there somewhere.
Oh, well,
I'd like to thank Mr. NJ Hallard for sending Mr. Nova a fantastic Christmas
gift.
Yes,
thank you, sir. Very nice drawing as well.
And if you've not checked his blog out, check it out, njhallard.wordpress.com.
I like the name NG Hallard. It's very science fiction.
NJ Hallard. He's the man.
NJ Hallard.
NJ.
Or NG Hallard.
NJ.
It's a weird first name.
N
though,
for Norman,
it's
a NJ. N for Norman, J for John. What's his first name, do you reckon? N.
Well, it's NJ, isn't it?
What's not?
That's what I was saying. It's a weird name.
NJ.
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 Oh, his name is NJ. Yeah, that's on initials.
He's Indian, isn't he? NJ.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Is there?
Yeah, NJ Hollard.
Oh, my NJ Hollard.
Oh, please. We don't need casual racism now.
And also, I would like
Andy Gray's on air tonight. Thank you very much.
Check him off, yeah. Is there any women listeners we'd like to insult while we're fucking at it?
Yes, put your mic up.
What, we're fucking at it?
Oh,
no.
You're just
listen, really in, son.
He is, yeah. Calm yourself.
Really in, son. Yes, Dad. Sorry, Father. I shall curb my fucking language.
It's
from
now
on.
Reel it in, son.
Especially when you're fishing. You've caught one. Reel it in. It's a big one. It's a salmon.
Yeah, that's not cockney slang, is it? It's just catching a fish.
Yeah, but it could
welcome
be used.
Welcome to the fishing podcast.
Yeah, welcome to Anglers Monthly.
Anglers are.
We'll be reeling in the films tonight.
Yeah.
We'll have some big catches and we'll all have our rods out at some point.
We are just keeping afloat at the moment. So, and one big thing, I'd like to apologise to Spooky Bill for calling him a wanker.
I thought we did last time anyway.
No, you just called him wanker last time.
No, we did apologise immediately afterwards. Just because he liked Harry Potter, we says that is nobody's fault if they are mentally ill. I'm very sorry.
I like it and I'm not mentally ill.
We're off air already. This is just terrible.
We've been banned. This is the final podcast.
I must apologise to everyone.
I'd like you to thank you to listening for the last fucking 2-3 whatever podcast we're doing.
He's having trouble tonight, isn't he? His dialect
hasn't started yet.
His dialect has gone downhill.
Get a grip.
Dialect.
His dialects have gone downhill.
I've gone off in a Spooky Bill wanker trauma. I've gone. But back on track. Tonight we will be mostly doing David Cronenberg's The Fly.
Hey, up the Cronenberg.
Sort of getting on track from the first.
Probably
two.
The greatest director in the world.
Is it?
I don't know, but that would be the advert, wouldn't it, for Cronenberg?
Nowadays.
Cronenberg reference.
Oh, well, thank you. That's what I mean.
Been thinking about that all week, haven't you?
Well, at least in the last couple of minutes.
You have done, yeah.
Wow.
Good for you.
Genius work.
And anyway, we're going to take a little short break now, and we will be back with a new section.
That means I can sort out my Spock.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Lovely.
Have you still got the cream from the dusters?
I have, yes. I'm rubbing it on 3 times a day.
Yeah, rub it on your Spock.
Keep your ears down.
And we shall be back shortly with the new section.
I've got a bad case of vulcanitis.
We will be back with Bob's vulcanitis, Spock, Cop.
Wondered what that lump was.
Wow. How do you know about his lump?
He showed it me earlier.
Good God,
shall we have a break, shall we?
Yes, let's go for it. We'll be back after this slight break.
We've worked hard in the last 2 minutes.
The Witch's Hat is a podcast that may appear like this.
But when you least expect it.
Only at thewitcheshatblog.com.
Oh, you're so cool, Brewster. I can't stand it.
Headlines. Anne Hathaway is Catwoman in Dark Knight Rises.
So it's called Dark Knight Rises then?
Shut your fucking mouth! New Beatles time travel movie, Get Back.
That's terrible.
And yeah. Apollo 18.
Yeah, that looks good.
That looks good.
Alright, okay, good.
Is that it? Is that your headlines?
Yes, alright. What more do you want?
Jesus, a few if more I headlines. Heard that, only three.
Yeah, but everything else is crap.
Are you going to...
They were crap as well.
Oh, okay. No, so we're kicking off with Anne Hathaway, starring as Catwoman in The Dark Knight Rises. So what do we think about that? Do we know who she is? I've never heard of her.
Anne Hathaway.
Yes.
Name rings a bell.
Mm. Okay. Isn't have we got any facts on Anne Hathaway?
She's well fit. Right.
She's well fit.
She's well fit.
That well helps.
Fit. Is that a nationality? Well fit?
Yeah, she's well fit.
Is that somewhere in Serbia?
Is she English or...
Yeah, she's English. I don't know.
I've seen her in a.
We don't know a lot about her.
Apart from that,
yeah, Alice in Wonderland. That was the thing I remember being in.
So she's been announced as Catwoman.
Doesn't
and
she
we also
do period dramas and things like that. And
well, I don't think we should go there. No, really, no, we don't want to go anywhere near periods.
Well, it's a sensible question.
A bit messy. No,
stick a plug in that one.
Wrong time of the month there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So and also Bane has been cast as the villain. I've no idea. You've got the news. It's stolen the news. The news has been stolen.
Rob's really informative news. Here's a story I know nothing about.
Yes, today there's a fight in China.
Fascinating. All I can say is if you don't know, Google it.
Star Trek Nemesis, who was the bad guy in that.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, he's going to play Bane.
I have no idea.
I can't remember
his fucking name.
No. Fact Fauna. Fact Fauna doesn't know. That's a rare kind of plant. Okay, so yeah, that's it for that.
And the
then.
Title of the film is Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah. Is it? Yeah.
Is it like.
Have you stolen the news as well?
That's what you just said. Is
it
like
yes. It's Dark Knight Rises.
Is that a metaphor for like Batman finally getting a hard on?
Yeah, it could be when he sees Catwoman. Yeah. Tom the Dark Knight Rises.
Matron.
Oh, yes, indeed. Sorry?
His name's Tom Hardy, who's playing Bane.
Tom Hardon is in
But
Dark
it's going to be more
Rises.
Like the comics, isn't it? It's not going to be like the muscle bound one who was in. What was that shit? Batman film that had Arnie and then
Mr. Freeze.
Oh, the Joel Schumacher one.
Yeah.
Yes, that was terrible.
Which
we don't
just
talk
like
about
a muscle
that.
Bound.
We don't mention Batman and Robin.
Yeah, that's the
we
one.
Don't mention that.
It's going to be a freeze.
No, it's going to be more like the comic Bane.
I still don't think that anyone stopped the two Tim Burton movies. I didn't even really think the last Christopher Nolan Batman
you see,
film
was very good, is,
really. Tim Burton got everything right. He got the right atmosphere from the comics. Yeah.
Apart
and
from
Michael Keaton.
I just
like
Michael Keaton.
He was fine.
Bruce Wayne.
He had a certain vulnerability about him. Whether I think Christian Bale's a bit too macho-esque, he's a bit too hard-looking. There's no softness with him,
But you want that with Batman, don't you?
Yeah, because really, Batman, I don't think you
with
really
a dark
need that.
Batman, you do. With a dark,
yeah, that's the thing. They've gone for the dark thing. The only thing that got me about last Batman film was like, you know, like you said about the Tim Burton thing, but with the last Dark Knight, Gotham City could have been fucking LA, New York, London.
Yeah, there was no Gotham.
It was no Gotham, man. It was just, you know, and it just went on too long with the Two-Face guy, you know, I mean, it was all right. But then it just was like, that's
an extra
half hour.
You didn't need Two-Face in it at all.
No,
that last part of the
film.
Yeah,
just like,
just went on forever.
You know what I mean? And like I said, Gotham City, all right, it stood above a fucking skyscraper, whatever it's stood on.
Didn't
but
they do the
Two-Face
thing, though, because old cowboy gay bloke up a mountain had died halfway through and they needed to fill out the film? Is that right?
No, I don't know.
After, wasn't it? I thought he died halfway through the film.
I don't know.
No, I think he died.
Oh, was it? Oh, right.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I thought it was another sort of gladiator
again, wasn't it? He died halfway. He died on his arse in that, didn't he?
Oh,
back to the news. This is the
news.
Okay, so this is great. This sounds brilliant. And it's a Beatles time travel film called Get Back. No, it does sound awful, doesn't it?
I thought you were fucking joking about that, man.
No, no. It's,
I thought it was
it's
one of your
real. No, two it's friends. This is the synopsis.
Who's making it?
Two friends.
Him.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, his two mates and him.
They travel back to 1966 to stop John Lennon from meeting Yoko Ono. So, obviously,
well,
they don't want the Beatles
act,
to split up.
Did you meet him in 66, then? Ono. Oh,
I'm not. Who am I? Brian Epstein.
You're reading the damn news. You should know, man.
I don't like the Beatles, as you know.
I'm just a casual news reader, you know. To me, it's all
just
casual.
Just come in and
I'm
read the headlines and not give a fuck.
I'm not
about
Reginald Bosenkay.
Who is?
You should
Google him.
I'd
Google him.
I'd watch you all day long on CNN.
You wouldn't see any NNs with me. Okay, I don't know what that means. By the way, no idea. Anyway, there's that bit of news. Nobody thinks anything about a Beatles time travel movie, obviously. Oh, you know, everyone just thinks, God, no, that is shit.
At the end of the day, the Beatles are the Beatles, and they made fuckloads of money.
Oh. Where did you get that from?
Oh, well, I have my contacts within the media.
You've got your sources.
I've got my sources. When I catch
up
with them...
phones again, have you? Phone hacking.
I have, yeah. I've been doing a bit of hacking.
McCartney hacker. At the end of the day, right? The Beatles are the Beatles. The Beatles are the Beatles. Half of them are dead. They've made enough money. Just leave it alone. Go away.
Fascinating. Right, now on to Apollo 18. Yes, yes, this will float your boat. Okay.
Apollo 18,
yes.
Yeah.
Are we all excited about Apollo 18?
I don't know anything about it, right?
Okay, Apollo 18.
Did I say this about in the last podcast?
You did?
Did you mention it?
Yeah, I mentioned it.
You stole the news again! What am I doing here? It was a preemptive strike.
If you actually listen to
Afghanistan,
the podcast,
if you listen to what anybody else was saying,
I only listen to the sound of my own voice.
He is Osama bin Laden. But if you listen to the podcast, you might know what was said.
I never listen to it back, and when I'm doing it, I'm drunk.
Who wants to hear their own?
What is your news on Apollo 18? I just said it was a film that was coming out this year.
You've preempted the news. I've got nothing to do.
You know the director. You're the one that gets the media facts. You two need to tell us about it, because I ain't got fucking clue what you're about.
Okay, so Apollo 18 is the moon landing that never happened, but they discover some footage. It's one of those video camera things. Something really bad.
It's not found footage.
Yes,
it's not one of them fucking shaky cam things again.
Is it aliens and stuff?
Is there aliens involved?
I don't know.
You're the news man.
The news
is this
collapsed.
The one with the train at the start with the train crash?
No, that's Super 8. This is 16 mil.
It does actually, yeah.
Right.
So I don't know if there's a trailer. Just Google it. I don't need to read the news because people can just go, "Oh, I'll
it's
Google
your
whatever
idea,
it is."
Man.
Is
you
it?
Said to get myself a section.
I'm sacking myself.
Exactly.
I'm sacking my own section. Yeah. I'm sectioning myself from my own section.
Lock him up.
Anyway, something dreadful happens to the crew. Right. A bit like this podcast.
Well, when they're in space or what?
Yeah, and it's been directed by Gonzalo Lopez.
Oh, I know him very well. Jennifer's brother.
Is he?
I don't fucking know.
Fantastic. And that's the end of the news. That was the news.
That was the news.
Well done, everyone. Listen, next time, more news that you don't want to know over there.
Brought to you by the Shit News Network.
Well, I thought that went really well. No, I thought the people would be well informed there. Yeah, they know exactly what's happening.
That's definitely a feature.
I think they can just throw away their computers and their iPod eyes
and their Twitters.
Their
and
internet.
That.
They can just burn the internet. We can destroy the internet now because all you need to know
is Fox News.
Yes, that is it. Oh, and there's also Battleground Los Angeles, but that looks shy.
We've stopped the news now.
We've stopped the news.
Save it for the next news.
Oh, that's in the next news.
At the end of the day, you've got a fast forward button.
I'm Captain James Kirk of the United Starship Enterprise.
There we go.
Right, we shall be back after this little short one on our views of David Cronenberg's classic The Fly.
It's the only podcast that's our below room temperature. Your favorite nerdy drinking buddies band together to talk about the force of good. Movies and comics and games and such. Nerds on the rocks.com.
It's worse than my news.
Right, back. We are back for the main feature.
What the fuck was that?
Hey, them guys,
listeners in listenable podcast land, you can just send him anything and he'll play it, even that. Nobody knows what the fuck that was, so just send anything in.
In fact, that should be a challenge. Send in the worst thing you can possibly
think of. Sound of warm urine. Send that in.
Well, the thing though, if you want to send us your monster toys, that's fine.
Yeah.
No, send me your monster toys.
Money, that would be good.
Email me at johnnyscourtfilms@gmail.com.
Oh, Gmail, is it? I'm so ultra modern. I've got the internet.
Oh, fuck it. If you like it, just message us and send us some shit.
Nice.
Anyway, we are now on to his main feature, The Fly. Yes. Oh. 1986, directed by David Cronenberg.
Let's have the theme tune with the synopsis.
Let's have it.
1986.
This is the news.
No, it's not. Send me your toys, because I'm on the internet. 1986, directed by David Cronenberg, starring Jeff Goldblum, Gina Davis, It had a budget of 15 million and made it made 60 million.
Wow, yeah, they were all counting the actors at the end
exactly.
of that.
The synopsis is a brilliant but eccentric scientist begins to transform into a giant man-fly hybrid after one of his experiments goes horribly wrong.
Horribly wrong!
So, what was the tagline for this film?
It was be afraid, be very afraid.
So, what was the tagline for Alien?
It was be afraid, be very afraid. It was in space, no one can hear you scream.
So, what was the tagline for Dawn of the Dead?
It was when there's no room in hell, the dead will walk the earth.
Oh. Anyway, back to business, onto the fly.
Lovely.
Yes, go on then.
What's your tagline? Tagline from the corner.
Tagline!
Go on, tagline.
It's.
She's had a glass of wine. She'll be with you in a minute. You're talking to the world.
The whole thing. Call it Q. That's all you'll have time to say before it tears you apart.
James Bond was in trouble that week.
Oh, yes. Hmm. Very good. What's that from, then?
It's from Q the Winged Serpent.
Fascinating.
So, yes, this is The Fly with old David Cronenberg.
There's almost a buzz in your voice when you went, this is The Fly.
Well, I'm going to try and wing it all the way through. So, yeah. We've got lots of feedback of lots of people. Thank you very much for sending it in. We're going to spread the three feedback throughout the show.
Good.
The first one I got was off Xander Kane off Twitter.
Xander Kane!
Xander Kane!
What a great name, he's Xander Kane.
That's fucking mint, man.
He sounds like he should be, or she, I don't know.
And he also said
more like a Bond villain or something.
Yeah. Xander Kane. So, Mr. Bond, I am Xander Kane.
Kung Fu guru, roaming the earth.
Xander Kane.
Looking for the truth in the heart of man.
Will he ever find it?
Looking for a good podcast. He listens to words and he ain't found it. But anyway, Xander Kane says, thank you, Xander Kane. The Fly was one of the first films that grossed me out when I was younger, a creepy classic.
Oh, wow.
I can't wait for your thoughts.
Oh, okay, these are my thoughts. Yes, it is.
Not yours, ours.
Oh, God. I'm being shot down in flames. This is the news.
Gobshite. Anyway, so The Fly, fantastic, man. It's a bit of a classic, isn't it, really?
It's a genius film.
It's a bit of a forgotten classic as well, really.
The thing that I sent out, a lot of stuff, and people have said, God, I haven't watched that for years, and blah, blah, blah.
That's exactly what we said.
And it is,
we said that.
We all said it, didn't we?
I've not seen it
since the Birmingham Odeon in 1986.
Do you have any good stories about Birmingham Odeon?
There might be a few later. It was my main bleep it.
I can't remember going to the cinema to see it or anything.
No, that's because you were a stupid.
Well, I was a kid then, wasn't I?
Was I old enough?
I don't know.
I watched a dodgy copy of it, I think, the first time.
I think that's what I
on VHS.
Yeah. On VHS, yeah.
Oh, you should have seen it on the big screen.
Yeah.
I should have made notes. What, at the time?
In
20 years' time, I'm going to be doing a podcast.
I was doing a fanzine at the time, but I don't know if I reviewed
it
or
not.
I must have done it. It was called Suspiria. That was my film fanzine. It was very good.
I've seen a copy of that.
You have, haven't you?
I mean, you was going to do a fanzine at one point.
Car boot trash.
Car boot trash. That was like a fanzine we was going to do.
Oh,
for all the trash you found on the car boot.
Surprisingly.
Women, mainly.
Oh, yeah. There's that much. Fucking burgers, gippos and inbreds. It's like, fuck that.
There's a fanzine here. There's a book here. There's an encyclopedia of car boot.
Yeah.
In front of our very eyes, we saw it all.
Anyway, back to The Fly. So starts off with old Jeff Goldblum.
Old Jeff Goldblum.
Well, no, well, he's now.
He looks quite young in this film.
He does.
Slightly young. Very sort of 80s. He's obviously an eccentric scientist that goes to the convention thing of scientist stuff.
Yeah,
sort of like
the scientist convention.
Yeah, that's the one.
Fantastic.
And he meets old what's her face,
Gina Davis.
He was dating at the time.
Was he?
She only got the role.
Hold on, fat corner.
Fat corner.
We
haven't done this for a while.
Here we go.
Yeah! He's back.
What?
Who is it? Fat
corner. Whack.
He's whacking one.
Fat corner.
Gina Davis was Jeff Goldblum's girlfriend at the time and only got the part because she was his girlfriend. And there was some.
I bet she got his part.
Oh, yes.
Hey.
She was onto something big.
Hey, hang on.
Dear. And Cronenberg really didn't want to do it because there was like
boyfriend, girlfriend, but then he saw the chemistry,
the
between
on-screen
them and thought,
chemistry.
Yes, this is good.
Well, he is a scientist, so he would have spotted the chemistry.
Hey. I'm not doing it again.
Oh, okay.
No, not that close.
Can I get this then? Yeah, there we go.
So anyway, she meets him at the party, and then
they start chatting. He says this, doesn't he?
Yeah.
First sample off the film.
He says,
"What am I working on? I'm working on something that'll change the world and human life as we know it."
Boy, it's the internet. He was working on the internet.
Exactly. I'm working on internet porn.
This will change how people masturbate all over the world.
Talk for yourself.
They'll do it more often.
Yeah.
Anyway, make sure these iPads wipe clean.
Anyway,
3J cloth with every iPad.
He meets her at a party and then takes her back to his house or his apartment to show him what he's got going on. No, it doesn't have to be resort to smodginess. Yeah. Let's be clever and talk about films. So yeah, and then he gets back and he instantly goes on the piano and he's doing all his
life. He instantly goes on the piano.
I'm instantly on the piano.
No, that's the whole sort of like premise of him being set up as like a complete fucking eccentric nutter.
Yeah, I know, after being at Birmingham Odeon, whenever I took a woman back to my flat, I was instantly on the piano.
You were instantly on the shitter.
No, but the thing is, it's like, you know, that's the setup for him. You know, like, that, you know, all right, you'd be on the shitter. He plays the piano. You're not a scientist. He fucking is.
And you know I'm not a scientist.
Because you know you're not a scientist. Don't talk out your shitter.
Don't talk out of my scientific mouth.
But, you know, like, say, if I came back here and I was Gina Davis and you was Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, if only. God, what kind of fantasy would that be? I can't even imagine that. And my imagination's quite big, but no way can I see you as Gina Davis. Oh, my fucking God.
Stockings, man.
No. Not even in that dreadful jumper she wears halfway through, or that coat with the scarf.
That is one of the things that you notice about the 80s film, Dreadful Jumper.
Right, yeah, I'm going to go and get a curly wig and a dreadful jumper and come round here. I know I've got some dreadful jumper.
And I'll open the door and go, oh my God, it's Gina Davis.
Let me get on the piano quick.
Yeah, all right, I maybe missed the point a little bit with that one, but what I'm saying is, I don't know what the fuck I'm saying. Anyway, she goes back to his thing, plays the piano, like, oh, out the barrel.
She doesn't play the piano.
He plays the piano.
She almost on Kate Bush.
That's what I was after.
But he shows her his transporting machines.
As you do.
Not off.
And she's like, I don't think that's going to work. And he goes, I do. And she gets a bit of a sexy leg up with the stocking. He says, I'll show you. And he transfers
that
the stocking.
That is a very sexy leg. I'm sorry. Mm. When I watched it, to that.
Jeff Goldblum's.
Just the thought of it has made me stutter. I mean, that's a leg. That is one hell of a leg.
I don't know, when
that's
I was watching it.
That goddamn leg with the stocking rolling.
I don't know about the leg, I'll call on the
man alive.
No, we'll get on to that.
Okay.
That's a bit later.
But yeah, that obviously shows to her that she can transfer one stocking to another. If it's Heather Mills, that might be a bit more difficult.
That would have been a fantastic transformation.
Exactly, yeah. But anyway.
So, he'd have got wood a lot sooner.
He would have got a lot sooner. Yeah, he'd have been hopping mad if he'd have been like that. But yeah, so that's the way that she does whatever else and stuff. And she's like, right,
come on, Layla, throw it in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, when Heather Mills did it, No, when Heather Mills did it, and Jeff Goldblum's look on his face, he was stumped.
So
hang on, we need a symbol for that one. Yes.
That's rather fantastic, sir.
What a magic moment.
Anyway, so he transfers the stocking. She goes, that's great, that is. And
that's exactly what she said.
Yeah. And then she's right.
That's great. That.
But then she's like, right, I'm off now. And then he notices that she's actually recorded.
Is this like Northern Fly?
No, it's like, I'm off now. I'm off now.
I'll send to transport.
Oh, that's great. That is. I'm off now.
Yeah, I'm out of fucking enough. I'm off down pub now.
Can help me with whippets. And and then he notices that she's actually recorded him, which he's not very happy about. Because she works for the big corporate newspaper.
Yes,
she's going to do all the things.
Oh,
he's
in a newspaper. Particle magazine, wasn't it? That's
cool. Oh, sorry.
Yes.
Particle magazine. Yes, come on. Right.
Hang on. Whoa. Come on, then, Mr. Factor.
Yes, it's called Particle magazine.
Good.
which is on so and so's number plate on his car. The
ex-boyfriend
when his car pulls up outside, that's what's on the number plate.
What, so and so?
We got all northern again.
You know, so and so.
So and so's car.
That's
why it says so and so.
It won't work in Downhill. So anyway, she goes back to tell him, you know, like, I've got this right exclusive story of this man.
Hey, lad! I've got this right exclusive story!
You won't believe it,
right? He's got a bleeding piano in his bloody apartment, isn't he? What about that?
He was on it immediately! I didn't believe it! The minute I slept, I was sit on bloody piano.
He just teleported
his legs to the other side of the room!
He said, tap pigeons, come home!
She's hopping round apartment, she's well pissed off.
You got any of that Elvis left? But anyway, she goes to her ex, and she says, I have this exclusive story for you.
Her ex has got the weirdest name. His name's something like
Stathis, isn't it?
Stathis. Yeah. What name, christens their baby Stathis.
Maybe Greek.
Oh, he could be, yeah. Oh, okay, sorry, I don't want to offend any Greek listeners there. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Hello, Greek. So she goes back to him, and she says she has an exclusive story.
Oh. Yes, she does indeed, for Particle magazine.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, right, whatever.
He's like, a good
Do us a favour, love.
He's like, oi.
Because he's Cockney, she's Northern. Yeah, obviously.
Bit of a mismatch there.
She walks in, she goes, oi, geezer, I've got his story. She's like, oi,
gun a minute. She's Cockney now.
She's Northern. But she's Cockney Northern. Do one. Cockney Northern.
Do us a favour, love. Put the kettle on.
Exactly. Do one with your whippets.
Is this Ken Loach is the fly all of a sudden?
Fuck off, you Cockney Northern bastard. And take your whippets with you. Anyway, so he doesn't agree to do it. So then the next thing you see is old Jeff Goldblum with his baboon. He has obviously an idea because of stocking's run.
I hope so. He's a scientist. You would think he would have an idea.
Yeah, because the stocking's gone. He thinks, I know, I've got a baboon. I'll try that.
A baboon.
But that's quite a bad scene, though, isn't it, man, when he puts the baboon in?
What, and he turns inside out?
Yeah, nasty.
There's a few questions that need to be asked at that moment in the film. One thing is, where does he get his supply of baboons from?
Exactly. They're not a common animal, are they?
Is he going to Baboons R Us?
He must do, yeah. Animalsupplies.com.
This is pre-internet, so it was probably quite difficult to get hold of a baboon.
A source of baboon.
Have you seen where he lives? It's some kind of weird industrial estate. There's no other animals near it.
It looks like a weird scene from Escape from fucking New York, doesn't it?
It does.
Exactly.
With Chevy fucking Chase
and all them. No, but yeah, where the fuck did he get his baboons from? I never thought of that.
That is the question I've been asking for a long time. Does he have them delivered, mail order?
Listeners, email me at johnnyscuffins@gmail.com because I'm on the internet.com. Baboons, what the fuck?
I know.
You've thrown one up in the air.
A baboon?
Difficult
to catch. I'll tell you that.
No, it's going
to
land on your face.
You don't want to ask first as well. A little mime there, which won't come over on the podcast at all.
I don't think we need a mime for arse first.
No.
I think our listeners can probably imagine what an arse first looks like.
Well, yeah, if not,
I'll take a photo of us at 3 a.m. We've all got baboon arse faces by then.
Oh my lord.
Speak for yourself.
So anyway.
But it doesn't really turn out well for the baboon, does it?
Really? Well, it does turn out, but inside out.
Not good.
Not good at all.
So how does he?
Quite sad.
The bit I don't remember is how does he eventually figure out the problem that he's got? Because it's living matter.
It's a steak.
He can't transport living matter.
No, he does the other one.
Fact with the steak.
Fact with the steak.
Hang on. What's the fact? I've lost them again. I'm getting pissed. Where is it? I've lost it.
It's gone.
The facts have gone.
Yeah. Originally, the steak experiment scene had an extra bit of dialogue in it where
Danny
Seth says he's going to teach the computer
a lesson
about flesh and everything. Oh. And she quips, what are you going to do? Read it naked lunch.
Oh,
which was Boris. Cronenberg.
Yeah.
He was going to later film naked lunch.
Which,
that deserves
that's a big fact.
Fascinating. Which actually would bring me on to another comment we've had.
Oh, yeah.
From Donald Archipinte. He says,
are you alright? Calm down, sir.
Jesus.
John,
Christ.
Can you see?
Sorry, I just did a bit of Tourette's then.
Mexican Tourette's.
Yeah, Mexican Tourette's.
I didn't even talk to the parents. Enchiladas, enchiladas.
To all our Mexicans listeners,
I'm very sorry.
Yeah. Donald Ocipinte, he's the man, sends his last of things.
No, but how many times you sing his name in a sexy voice?
Hello. I'm trying to stop your lot being fucking Mexicanist.
Oh, okay.
He says, I loved it and still enjoy it today. Of course, all of you know Cronenberg made a cameo in the movie where
he was the doctor delivering the maggots.
We're coming to that.
Yeah, didn't really fact about that, but there we go.
Ooh. No, we'll come up to that. He says, I didn't really care for The Fly 2.
Which,
oh, no, I liked The Fly 2.
It's not too, it's good. No,
it's got great bad reviews.
It's really good.
It was
great.
Most fans of the original film don't like the follow-up.
Labradors, Eric Stoltz.
I
liked
them both. I thought they were both equally as good.
But he says, I really like Cronenberg's movies. Naked Lunch, starring Peter Weller, will always be my fave, but that's just me.
Yeah, but that's quite awful. Yeah, Naked Lunch is terrible. Yeah. It's not even a Cronenberg original. He doesn't even say anything about the flesh. We like the flesh. Cronenberg is always commenting on the flesh.
But like you said, that's just me, so it's his own opinion, which is cool.
Oh, yes, very, very good of you, sir.
I love the role you played as Decker in Nightbreed.
Oh, well.
I once saw Clive Barker. This is a quite interesting one. I once saw Clive Barker at a Fangoria convention in New York City.
Yeah.
A fan asked him what he thought of Cronenberg, and his reply was, Cronenberg is a sick fuck. He never did say why he said this about David Cronenberg, but after viewing almost all his movies, I can only imagine. And he says, is it true that they are talking about another remake of The Fly? If so, it would be very top.
It
would be very tough
to
top Cronenberg's version.
Well, Cronenberg's on about making it, isn't
he? Yeah, he's on about redoing
it. Well, Donald, you are absolutely spot on there.
And
that
fucking Clive Barker thing,
that also was the best thing about Nightbreed.
Say Cronenberg's a sick fuck.
That's the only good thing about Nightbreed is Cronenberg's role in it.
Nightbreed just done my head in, man.
Is that where you have all the labyrinth?
There's all the monsters and stuff like that. And Cronenberg's he's got a mask on with a snipping and stuff like that, and like things for eyes and things. It's really cool. Right? That's about the best thing in the film.
Clive Barker saying, you know, Cronenberg's a sick fuck. Clive Barker's a shit writer.
Yeah.
Big cheese. You know,
the reason why he played the Doctor was because Martin Scorsese loved his early stuff. And asked to meet him, Cronenberg. When he met him, he said he thought he looked like a Beverly Hills plastic surgeon.
Oh, okay.
So that's why he thought, I'll play the Doctor a bit then.
Cronenberg's genius, man.
We're getting some genius facts.
Thank you very much to Donald Ocipinte for sending that in, and it raised a
bell.
That was a good one, Donald. Donald's good one, sir.
Yeah, Donald, you're spot on there.
Send in more.
Clive Barker, I've never been a fan of his anyway.
I didn't mind that film, but
He's a good writer.
Elrase,
okay, yeah.
Well, yeah, Elrose one too. Yeah, but that's the only thing he's ever fucking done.
Yeah, true.
Sorry. But anyway, back to The Fly.
Yeah.
Where we got to? Baboon.
So, baboon inside out, no good.
No good, not.
And then he gets another baboon from Baboon's Oris.
Which is his brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got a mail order set up with them. He's got a flying through the door.
And then that,
one after another,
transports into a success.
It does.
Because the scene where the pod opens up for the second time and the baboon comes in, he's hugging him, it's like, wow, he's actually done it.
Something to do with the stakes.
Because basically shags Gina Davis, isn't it?
No,
it teaches him about the flesh.
Makes love to
it. It reminds him of the baboon's arse.
Yeah.
It must do. But it's about the flesh, isn't it? It teaches him about the flesh.
Right.
And that's what he puts into the computer. The computer doesn't.
There is a lot of stuff on the actual computer screen that says, fucking.
A
lot of computers
do that. Yeah. 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 I turn on the PC, fucking.
Your computer says a lot of fucking on yours, but no, it says a lot about the integration with that meeting, that and all. There's a load of it. If you look at it carefully, it's a bit, whatever, but it is a lot of sort of.
I've not understood the word you've just said. I'm totally baffled. The computer says fucking, when you look at it, whatever, it's just whatever it is it said.
So he learns from
that's
having
exactly
shag
right
that
this is a new
something about the flesh. He's able to then program the computer with that knowledge.
The computer doesn't understand what the flesh is, so he has to tally what it is, and then he can teleport
flesh rather than just
running jumpers and baboons.
You are the brains, as Mr. NJR said in your book, The Brains in a Zombie Invasion.
Allegedly, makes me wonder, yeah, before he did Stockings and Baboons, what was the first thing he must have tried to teleport? Because he must have done it before that. Because
well, it was inanimate objects, wasn't it? That's why it said it was. It was just
a peanut.
So he transports a peanut from one place to another.
Spare dildo.
I transport it from my hand to my mouth.
Yeah, you would, yeah. You'd run to the other iPod. iPod?
Yeah. Two massive iPods.
Yeah, and just sit in the other iPod and open your mouth and wait for the peanuts.
That's what you do on a nightly basis.
I just sit there with my mouth open
waiting for my peanuts. Yes, exactly. Marvelous. So he does the he don't do the baboon.
He does a baboon. No. Is that slang for something? Scientist slang. What's that to Jeff Goldblum? He's done a baboon.
Played it now. He's not actually.
Goldblum's baboon.
Jeff Goldbaboon.
So anyway.
Yeah.
He does it.
So anyway.
He does it.
Silence.
No.
So anyway.
Listen to this. No, listen. This is a pivotal point of the film.
Oh, it is. Yeah, okay. Yeah, right. Serious now. Let's get pivotal.
He's transported.
I wanna get pivotal. Sorry.
He's transported the baboon from one to another.
Yes.
It's a success. The baboon comes out and hooks him.
Why are you whispering?
Because it's a pivotal point.
Oh, it's pivotal.
I'm trying to be like, I'm trying to be like professional.
Let's get pivotal.
So the baboon comes out and goes, hey, I'm fine. No, listen.
The baboon talks.
Don't laugh. Don't talk. I'm talking.
Talking baboon.
No, he comes out and goes, hey, I'm fine.
The baboon says
so
that
Jeff Goldblum, in congratulations and celebrations to himself, thinks, right, I'm having a glass of fucking wine here.
Is that what he does?
Yeah. So he goes out.
He's talking baboon.
No, he has a glass of wine.
He's a glass of wine. He's
fantastic.
Talking baboon.
I'm going to get naked and I'm going to do myself.
He's going to crack one off.
He's going to do himself. Absolutely. No,
he's going to transport himself.
No, so that's what he does.
One off.
So that's what he does. That's the next stage of the film.
Well, he does it thingy, don't he? Because he's jealous of her going to her ex-boyfriend.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. She goes to see Stathis drunk and he's jealous. She goes to see Johnny Mathis Stathis. Yeah.
No, I don't need her. I'm going to do myself.
Yeah, yeah. I'm gonna get into my big iPod and do myself.
Yeah, I'm going to do myself. I'm going to transport
regardless
myself
of what baboons are hanging
out. So that's what he does. And that's the pivotal point. And he gets in his pod. And all of a sudden, you see like.
And we see the fly.
But we've already had a couple of hints of the fly, haven't we?
Yes.
There's already been the baboon's head in it. The baboon's swatting the fly away. And they're hearing the background.
They're ringing the fly in.
It's very subtle, all that stuff.
Nicely done, I thought.
Yeah. That's incredible, isn't it?
And of course, when he first meets Gina Davis at the party.
She's got a fly on her nose, isn't she?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Interesting fact.
And if you look very carefully, you can see a fly.
Fat corner bow.
He's made it up, it's not real.
Isn't it?
No.
She's got a fly tattoo as well.
Yeah.
See when you see a bit of side boob,
that's a fly on the side of a boob.
There is,
and she's got two wings.
Yeah,
and she's got
six legs.
Fantastic. Yeah. Gina Six Legs Davis. That's what she was known as in Hollywood. Yeah.
And she's eating a shit follifont.
She is,
yeah. Marvellous.
Good.
So anyway, it's a success.
It
but
is.
But there's a fly.
I love a mad scientist film.
Good on you.
So you can't beat a mad scientist film. It's a mad scientist film and it's great.
It's fantastic.
Along with the
animator. You've not seen Human Centipede yet. That is fantastic.
You've got to watch
that is a great mad scientist film.
I am missing out on a mad scientist
that
film.
I do realise
that. That is on a par with The Fly, I would say.
It's brilliant, man.
I must see it.
It's great, yeah.
Fantastic.
Have you got it on your stick?
Can't see it winning.
No, I have it legally. No, I have
never
bought,
gonna
you got
have,
it legally?
I bought it legally. I do not download anything. I will not bring any copies.
You've got it
around.
Legally?
Yeah, no. Yeah. No,
oh, yeah.
So anyway, the next day, Gina Davis goes round to see him, see how he's doing.
Yeah.
And then he starts doing all his mad gymnastics stuff, doesn't he?
Oh, that's right, yeah, he's up and about.
He's swinging around the grass.
Yeah.
In fact, we got a little sample from that bit.
Oh, good.
I think it's that bit. It's when he's talking about how great he feels.
Well, it is, because you look at, like, you know, all of a sudden, from the beginning of the film, he's kind of like a real geeky.
He is,
I'm a little bloke, I'm like, you know, playing the old Joanna and doing all that kind of stuff. Right. And then all of a sudden, she comes round, he's not got a top on, and he's started doing loads of fucking gymnastics. You've got to think that there's something all right there, ain't you?
This is it.
I want you to go through, I want to teleport you as soon as possible, right now. I feel incredible, Ronnie. I hardly need to sleep anymore, and I feel wonderful. It's like a drug, but a perfectly pure and benign drug, the power I feel surging inside me. I want to be able to wear you out. We'll be the perfect couple. The dynamic duo. Come on, right now.
Oh, hey, wait. Don't give me that born-again teleportation rap. I told you I'm scared to do it. What do I have to say? I'm not going to do it.
You're a fucking drag, you know that?
Something went wrong, Seth. When you went through, something went wrong.
You're telling me something went wrong?
Yeah, she started.
He's had a glass of baboon juice and he's gone off his tits.
But then the next bit after that
is
when, you know, they have a bit of a hoo-ha.
Bit of an argument.
Then she pisses off and then she comes back and then they have a bit of sexy time.
I'd love to see you on film 2011. Your reviews would be fantastic.
Yeah,
and they have sexy time.
Yeah, this is like, it's the truth.
This is like...
So, you know, what do you want? You know, do you want, like, fucking in-depth kind of, like, you know, and the cinematography of the camera spinning around the room and the soundtrack of, like,
which was Brian Ferry.
Yes.
People fell asleep.
Yeah, I noticed that Brian Ferry had a song on the film.
What,
I didn't even notice that at the Birmingham Odeon in 1986.
I saw that when I was looking at
what was the
some
song?
Facts. It's called Help Me.
A little bit of a nod to the original there.
Oh,
obviously.
I see. Right, okay. Good.
So did Brian Ferry need help at that time, do you think?
I think he's always needed help, isn't he, old Ferry?
So, she comes back round and they have a bit of sexy time.
Was she knocked out?
Sexy time.
Was she unconscious?
They have a bit of sexy time.
Isn't that when she notices his hairs?
Yes.
On his back.
Exactly. His rabbits. He's keeping pick up the boots and rabbits.
He's got a whole
menagerie. He's got a menagerie in there,
Exactly.
He's got animals arriving at the door constantly.
Come and have a look at me. I've got a hen
Mr.
as well.
Mr. Brundle, we've got some penguins here for you.
I'd fuck them. But anyway,
fuck up a penguin.
Oh, I don't know how to follow that. Anyway, they're on taxi time. But the thing is, the way the film progresses, right, is you look at Jeff Goldblum by this stage, and that's when his face starts, you know, looking like
Jeff
yours.
Jeff Goldblum by the stage.
Yeah. That's when his face starts looking at yours a bit fucked up.
I can believe that.
No, but it is. That's when the first stage
is that when he starts turning to Michael Jackson?
Because isn't there, when you look on Tinterwebs, there's sort of seven different stages, isn't there?
Yeah.
Seven
yeah.
different stages of the metamorphosis.
I've not been that far into it.
Seven or whatever there is.
But like I say, and then she's got the... He's got big ears on her back, and that scene where she's fucking cutting the big hairs off.
Well, that comes out when they first have shaggy time.
Yeah,
he leans over and there's a sort of computer chip.
That's right. Yeah,
stabs
him
in the back,
and
that's where the hairs start growing out.
What is that that he lies on? That's another kind of.
It's like an 80s computer chip.
Is that what it is?
They were in the 80s.
Huge.
I know nowadays you can see it through a microscope, but
you get a complete home cinema system on that now.
You would.
Yeah, but it's the thing. I mean,
you wouldn't even get that up your ass.
No.
Well, you might do. But the thing is, it's like, let's say, the weird thing is with the 80s computer stuff and that, and it's like the other week, Tron was on the telly.
Oh, well.
I told him to get off.
Ultron.
That'll ruin your screen.
Ultron, original Tron.
The original Tron. Right. And it's like, you watch it now, and it's like, fucking mad, because the guy's been like, yeah, the whole world is like, you know, controlled by bytes.
Yeah.
But it's like, which used to
bytes.
Be.
Bytes. Megabytes.
Megabytes.
Kilobytes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and like, the whole world is like by bytes. And some of the weird computer stuff that they was coming out with at the time, you know, obviously it was the newest, latest, whatever. Yeah.
Computer stuff that
you looked
at
it now, and you sort of like go back and you just think, well, you know.
What a crap film.
Exactly.
That's what I used to
we're all being rammed.
That was rubbish, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What the hell was
and
that?
And the remake's even worse, man.
Legacy.
Terrible.
So that's another podcast.
Let's talk about the new Tron film.
After that, right, he starts to look rough. That's his first stage.
He does start to look like Michael Jackson at one point.
He goes out on a bit of a bender, doesn't he?
Yeah, he goes out on a bender.
Oh, he's talking about the arm wrestling scene.
I've got the sound effect, man. This is genius.
This is when the gore kicks in, isn't it?
This is first bit of proper gore.
Yes. That.
Not good, but that was the first thing too. Like the sort of like things saying about the feedback. I got it from Laura Best, which she says remains surprisingly menacing, which it is with the arm break scene. Over time, Goldblum so funny yet terrifying. Davis so soft and fragile until the end
in a terrible jumper,
and then also
and the bit when she comes in with the scarf and the coat. God, that's worse than
that's
any of the
horrific,
gore effects.
But then, like
that
you know,
is horrific,
well, like Laura Best, she says. At the end, also yuck.
Also yuck?
Yuck, which is
Oh, okay, yeah.
She's bleh.
Yeah, it is,
bleh.
It's a great scene, and he comes back in the fly too, and he's really fucked up, as I recall.
Oh yeah, big time, yeah,
yeah.
What, old Stumpy?
Yeah, Stumpy comes back in fly
too. Stumpy come back.
So anyway, after that scene where Bricks are wrestle, I think that's the point where Jeff Goldblum really loses it, and then that's the part where it picks up the dirty lady.
Oh, the dirty lady.
You know, and then
is she actually a prostitute, or is she just
what in real life?
Well, yeah, I don't know. She might in the film. Yeah. She's not.
I don't know, because you don't really see where you're
she's looking for a good time.
Well, she's hanging around a bar in her underwear.
That's around the whole arm break scene, isn't it?
That's not something you see around the local pub.
And she's willing to go back to
shag someone she's
just
broke
so you look like very skaggy, really, don't you?
Yeah. Well, she looks quite skaggy as well.
Yeah.
I mean, Mr. and Mrs.
So, yeah, she's just obviously pissed by having free drinks and do whatever she can get, because it's that scene where he walks upstairs and you're basically having to carry her up the stairs to shag her in it.
Yeah.
I mean, which is not very nice.
Not really, not being shagged by a 7 foot fly.
No. And then Gina Davis turns up and she's not very happy.
She tells him to be afraid.
That's right, be
very
what?
Very afraid.
Be afraid, be what?
He just said it.
Very afraid.
Yeah, I wanted you to say it.
Be very afraid.
I wanted it in echo, there so it's like for the effect.
Oh, okay.
All right, cheers.
Do it again then, and I'll do it this time.
Right, so she said, hold on, wait for him to finish drink. So she said, what? Be afraid.
Be very afraid.
Very afraid.
Very afraid.
Very afraid.
Very afraid.
Very afraid.
Afraid.
Yeah, so she's afraid.
Okay.
Yeah, scary at all.
But then,
that's quite scary.
At that point, he just sort of flips out and throws Gina Davis out, and then that's when his teeth start falling out.
Yes.
And he basically starts falling to bits.
He does. Falling off.
He has his own little museum in the bathroom cabinet. That's quite
cool. Yeah, but the good thing, I mean, the fucking effects on that, like where he's got his fingernail and he just sort of pulls it off, man. It's like,
it's weird. The gun horrible. Shoots out on the mirror.
Oh,
and
yeah,
and
real big squeeze splat, his nail. You know what I mean? So,
beautiful.
And then you get to
we've
the point.
We've all seen guns shoot out on the bathroom mirror.
Not off.
Yeah, when you're looking at yourself in the mirror doing something you shouldn't do.
As a person with
not. You know it's true. I've caught you before doing that.
Carry on.
So he's starting to change, isn't he? Old Goldblum.
Yeah. Because he gets to the point, like I say, in this, like, where he's wearing gloves to type because his fingers are so
sore. I wonder why he had those gloves on.
He's
I
also
been
got
doing
a pencil
bit.
As well, anyway.
Yeah,
his
that's right,
his.
Yeah.
I thought he's been doing a bit of work on his
because his fingers are falling off.
Yeah, he's got wank blisters. Yeah. So his hands are completely gone.
Marvellous.
And then he phones Gina Davis, and by that time he's completely fucked because he knows he's just going off on one completely.
He's completely turning fly. It's all gone haywire. He's absolutely turning fly.
Yeah. He calls it, doesn't he? And that's where she turns up in it, and he's walking on the.
Yeah.
Is that where he was walking on the ceiling? Or
that was a bit before.
He's dancing on the ceiling.
No, when she first comes round. When he's
that's when he's got the walking sticks, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, that's when he's Michael Jackson.
Yeah, that's when he's Michael Jackson. And there's she sort of he's looking pops out of her, doesn't he? You see her headshot, and then all of a sudden you see her face on, and then all of a sudden the back of his head pops in, and there's a whole.
It is, because that's the point of the film where it's sort of like. You don't really recognise he's Jeff Goldblum anymore because his makeup starts kicking and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, he's actually not Goldblum anymore.
That's it.
And this is where the film begins to suck.
Do you reckon?
The whole bit of him changing into the fly. It's just, it's over the top, man.
I can't agree. All his stuttered speech, like this. I am turning into a fly.
It's just over the top, man. I mean, you wouldn't.
But it's obviously improvising because nobody's heard a fly speak, really.
Well, of course, it just.
So you can't imagine how they might speak.
It comes across as a bit silly. It's almost comic, isn't it?
But it's that bit where, like, to.
Yeah, look. To just explain my point, to demonstrate, here it is, here's a sample of him doing the very thing where he's overacting it.
It's unrelenting every day there. It changes. Every time I look in the mirror, it's someone different, someone hideous, repulsive.
What happened?
I know an old lady was swallowed a fly, perhaps she'll die.
You see what I mean? It's just it's like a comedy sketch.
I don't know, man.
I'm not sure how to act as a fly. I'm sure he must have thought, how the fuck am I going to be a fly? Because all Vincent Price did was wander around with a big head.
And then shout, help me!
Help me! I didn't mean he kind of went.
That's it, yeah,
the end,
yeah,
didn't
yeah,
he? But he didn't do any of his twitches, that because they couldn't do it in those days, really, without looking really bad.
No, it was that, I guess, yeah.
So I guess he didn't really have a mold, but unless David Cronenberg goes to him, why don't you do a few twitches and sound like, you know.
That's Jeff Goldblum anyway, isn't it, when he talks? I mean, you watch
this. This is true, yeah. Welcome to Jurassic Park.
He doesn't say that.
No, David Attenborough. Yeah, David Attenborough.
Yeah.
Welcome.
David Frost.
That's it, yeah.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Jurassic Tonight. We've got Richard Nixon.
Marvellous.
But anyway, she comes round, and that's the first point, which is...
Was she knocked out?
Yeah. That's the first point, which is like really kind of gross, and that's where he throws up for the first time.
Oh, that's where we see the great way he eats meals, which is what most people do in McDonald's nowadays.
Don't actually see it, though, do we? We don't see that until later. Because he does the whole video thing, doesn't he?
Yeah. Mm.
She records him, so she can take it back to her editor, ex-boyfriend, and, you know, and say, look, it's actually happening, this is real. And you just hear the sound effect, and you see him watching it. Don't you?
Oh, that's right.
And then he goes, oh God, oh my God, like that.
Little knowing that he's about to be Stumpy Joe.
That is about to happen to him.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Mm, exactly.
So she takes it back to him, he's watching it, and it's like, well, what the fuck? And it's kind of like, I don't know, the whole sort of thing with her and her ex and him, like that love triangle thing was a bit...
Well, you have to have a bit of emotion in it. Otherwise it's just a straightforward bad scientist. You have to involve some emotional...
Yeah, exactly.
...for the audience to appreciate and to side with the characters.
Which, it's meant to be sort of like the bad guy, isn't it?
Yes. Well, it is, because I've got a comment off, what's his name? I can't remember his name. Like Gavin Jennings.
Yeah, all right.
And he says, this is quite a long one, but it's a good one. He says, well, it's been a long time since I've seen his 1986
gem. How long
gem.
Is that? Look at
Shut
it.
Up! I'm reading.
Gavin Jennings has written us a novel.
Again?
Yeah. He's always writing these novels. Is that all he does?
He contributes. He's a good man.
Oh, I'm sure. Okay.
You know he is.
I know he is.
Well, it's been a long time since I've seen this 1986 gem. So
well, that's it for him then. Carry on.
A lot of my
Your
review
comment is invalid.
Is drawn from old memories.
My watch it. It's on DVD, Mr. Jennings. What's the matter with you, slacker? Write him with a comment for a film he's not seen in 30 years.
Hey, Gav.
Bloody useless.
No, Gav, listen. Like, I've spoke to you before about it, right? And, you know, like, soon I've got a birthday coming up, so Rob will be there. So
yeah, you love him.
So if you want to punch him, you're more than welcome.
It's only because you like him in a sexual manner.
And because he gives me monster toys for free. And you're jealous.
Yeah.
Anyway, Gavin says, well, it's been a long time since I've seen this 1986 gem, so a lot of reviews are drawn from memory. My initial thoughts before writing were how amazing the effects were. The CGI was really used, and most of the makeup was done the old-fashioned way.
Proper. Yes, that's what we like. Proper makeup, bit of animatronics.
He says, I believe this film won an award for its effect, which was quite an achievement considering Aliens was done the same year.
Good point,
he should be on the podcast. He knows more than us.
Yeah,
exactly.
He does.
He's a big box.
The scenes where Seth starts to transform into the Brundlefly are what gave the fly its call to peel. Most people would doubt. Will no doubt remember his teeth falling out and the fingernails dropping off, etc.
Yes.
Fortunately, it's not this that makes the movie a success. It's the acting and
character. What time is it now?
Listen, it's what you were just saying about it. It's the acting and the characters.
It's getting on, isn't it?
It's the acting and the characters that are particularly good.
I had a life once.
Who we all?
Would-be horror filmmakers would do well to this movie and concentrate more on producing likeable, believable people. So that when they do get murdered or eaten,
murdered or eaten,
we genuinely care and feel their terror.
Oh.
Which is what the point was of, like you say, it's got characters in it.
Yes.
That just shows you. I mean, like the settings. There's only what, two, maybe three rooms in the entire movie, isn't there?
Exactly.
Like, you can do rooms in films.
Yeah. But it just shows you how good the characters are.
What are you doing, Holmes? Under the hammer?
That buried must have been an easy carry for you.
One room.
Buried just one place. That's it.
Yes. Yep. I shall love that in my room. Oh, one room. Lovely.
He's done.
The film.
He's got more.
He's more.
Fucking hell. Oh God, Gavin, do something else, please.
The film also stands out as a shining example of how to do a successful remake.
Yes, true. That's true, Gavin.
Well, not really a remake, though, is it?
Shut up.
It's more like reimagining. That's what they say nowadays.
Whilst the basic idea remains intact, the film almost completely reimagines everything.
He said it as well.
Exactly. Let me finish, and you will be. Whatever.
Spanked.
Yeah.
Right.
All of the 50s sci-fi cheese is lost, and thankfully, so is the human head on the fly.
Mm. Well, that was a brilliant scene.
So
we needed that back, if anything.
I mean.
You're wrong there, Gavin.
I have to say, David Cromer did a fantastic job with this film. I'm not a particularly big fan of his venereal horror.
Oh, okay, bit of venereal. Who is a fan of venereal horror?
There's probably some websites out there.
Yeah, they will like venereal horror.
The Fly is not one of my favourite films, and Right in the Future does not inspire me to watch it again.
Oh. Miserable bastard.
Fuck off then.
It does earn a place in the textbooks.
So he writes a 400-page missive and tells himself it was a waste of time.
It does earn a place.
Gavin Jennings is mentally ill.
Gavin, you will meet us all soon. And you will get your revenge.
Well, that was a threat then.
You will meet us all soon. One dark night, if you look over your shoulder, you'll meet us.
I often see him at 6 o'clock in the morning walking up Carlton Hill, and Gavin's walking down on his way to
work. What are you both doing out that early, eh?
We're talking about flies.
I bet you are.
Mm. Yeah.
And venereal horror.
But it does earn a great place in the
textbook. He's still going on, is he? Holy shit.
You know, if I read that, that'd be like 30 seconds.
Please don't read it anymore.
People leaving us feedback and it's not.
I'm sorry. We love you really, Gavin. We love to hear your comments
but
and go on.
But it does earn a place in the textbook of how to make great horror.
What textbook's that then?
One of great horror.
Oh, okay.
Gavin, thank you very, very much.
Thank you, yeah. Gavin.
Don't do it again.
Please send a two-worded review next time.
No, don't, because people are just not going to.
You've upset him now, listen. He's gone all venereal horror on me. He's mopping up the floor with his venereal horror.
We are going to get to a point where it's like, what feedback you got? Nothing.
Yeah. We've got.
All they do is rip the piss out of us. Anytime we send it,
we have no feedback.
Let's look back in the history of our fucking feedback, right?
Exactly. We'll see the number of downloads slowly go down. Listen, we end up with one. Tony, that was you.
Right, Tony Hodges, we offended, and then we find out she was a lady, right?
That's an easy mistake.
Then we offended her again.
Yeah, we've done that many times. Was a wanker.
Oh, no, we've apologised for that.
Right.
Yeah.
This one.
We're clean then.
Gavin Jennings again.
He's writing novels and you're reading them out.
But Gavin Jennings sent us one in the time before.
Oh, he's brilliant.
Exactly the same.
I do like him. Did we do that again?
You did.
Oh, did I?
Oh, he's wrote a novel.
Anyway, apologies to anyone who's offended.
Apologies to everyone who's been offended for sending in feedback that we are not appreciating.
Please send
in
more. Please send in more. We love your feedback.
Please send your comments, but please limit them to one or two words.
No, as long as you want.
Because it's really tedious for us to listen to
and be as long as you want.
Oh, he's wonderful.
At the end of the day, thank you.
That's going to get us back on track.
At the end of the day, it gets very dark.
You sound like a footballer saying that.
So anyway, back to the fly.
That's what Bundle Fly does. Yeah. Does he growl?
That's exactly what he sounds like.
Are we going for the end now?
Yeah,
let's start. It's a big climax.
That's a footballer's comment.
At the end of the day.
It's a
game of two halves.
It's in off the post.
Gavin Jennings.
Go on then.
Missing off the post.
Sum him up.
Thank you very much, Gavin Jennings, for that comment.
Yes, thank you, Gavin.
Let's roll on.
So where have we got to?
So basically, it goes up, right? And then she comes around.
Is she been knocked out?
No, after he's like thrown up, and then his ear falls off. Which is actually him, like, oh my God.
Basically, he's lost most of his main body part. His cock's gone west. His ear's gone north.
Oh, we're getting to that.
Didn't you tell me his cock was in the cupboard? We've not mentioned that.
No, we're getting to that.
That's right. It's in his cabinet of horrors, the Brundlefly Museum.
Yeah, we're getting to that.
Oh, okay. Oh, can we get to it now?
No, listen, next line.
Go on then.
So she goes back to her ex and then shows him the video diaries.
She goes back to her eggs.
Video diaries of what's actually happening.
Oh, okay.
And then he starts to believe, like, what?
Yeah, then he finally believes, even though she's told him loads of times. Is this, what's his name? Stathis Mathis.
Stathis Mathis, Johnny Mathis' brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And then she has this weird sort of fucking dream sequence.
This is the birth of the maggot.
Oh, this is the birth of the maggot.
Yeah. That's where she has
the maggot birth.
Oh, Simon Cowell, as he's commonly known in England.
That's where she has the weird dream sequence. Which
we've all had them.
Sort of comes out of nowhere.
The maggot doesn't come out of nowhere. We know where that comes out of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like Donald says in the earlier one, comment, that it's actually David Cronenberg that delivers the baby.
It is.
The maggot.
Yes, we know that. You know, I knew that at the time.
Does Cronenberg do stuff where he appears in his own films? Like,
yes, Hitchcock he is in... Or,
he's a bit of a Hitchcock.
He is, yeah, but I don't think he's in all of them.
No.
But there's also a guy in The Fly, who I can't think of his name, but he is in another David Cronenberg. I think he's in Shivers.
What, Cronenberg is?
No, you fool. The guy who's in The Fly.
You great fool. I was saying he's
Cronenberg
in all his films.
What are you thinking of?
I
don't think he's in all of them, no. I don't think he's a Hitchcockian in that respect, that he has to have a cameo in all. So surely you can go to Fat Corner for how many films has David Cronenberg appeared in that he's directed?
As a cameo.
I don't fucking know.
That's Fat Corner.
So he just wanted to be in that bit where he could look between Gina Davis's legs. So.
Well, that was obviously the perfect cameo for him. Yeah.
Who can blame him?
Well, she wasn't wearing that dreadful jumper at the time.
No, yeah. Full Brazilian. Lovely. Marvellous.
That'll do.
Come on then, let's crack on. So yes, cut. Next one. Yeah. And then she goes back to the Brundlefly, and that's where he loses three more of his teeth and he's even more fucked than he was before.
Completely carry on.
And then he opens his cabinet, and that's where, if you look,
he goes into politics at that point.
No, we've looked at it.
I'm here with my cabinet. Yeah, there's been a shake-up.
Interesting, actually, because there's that scene where he's talking about insect politics, isn't there?
There is, actually.
What does he say?
He gives this big speech, and the music comes in, and I can't understand what he says.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Because I found that whole bit. It's the bit that's lifted from Metamorphosis or whatever. The insect having a dream. And there's the bit at the end where he goes,
I listened to it over and over again.
I looked today on the internet, The Fly script, blah, blah, blah. I typed in the line before, you know, in brackets, so you get the actual search for it. And it is, I will hurt you.
Oh, okay.
Here it is, I've got the sample.
Saying I'm an insect who dreamt he was a man and loved it. But now the dream is over and the insect is awake.
No, sir.
I'm saying I'll hurt you this day.
It's a bit lost there because I couldn't understand what he said. Then you tell me you couldn't understand. So there must be an awful lot of people who miss out on Jeff Goldblum's huge fly speech.
It's like a big climax of the film.
And
it is, I'll hurt you if you stay.
I'll
hurt you if you stay.
I thought it was something on this day.
I thought it was something on this day. On this day there will be millions of flies and we will take over with our fly type ways.
But that scene, obviously she's in the hospital, and then this was the only bit that really got me about the film, where she's in the hospital bed and whatever else she's on, and then the fly just bursts through the glass
to take her away.
That bit for me was just a bit, I don't know.
I love that bit. I remember seeing it in the trailer. Fantastic. I thought, wow, that looks
Where did that come from out of the whole of the film though?
They're just leading up to the climax, aren't they? It looks great, a giant fly jumping through a big glass window.
Yeah, but he never left where the fucking alley was. Even when they came round, he was looking over the building. And then all of a sudden he's like somewhere at a hospital. I didn't know where she was or anything like that.
The bit I didn't get was how he knew that she was pregnant.
Yeah, but that's like,
because she came
round
to tell him that she was pregnant, hadn't she? But she doesn't actually tell him.
Because he's on the roof, isn't he, looking down?
He's so shocked.
And she's saying, I've got to get it out of me, hasn't she?
Yeah. And how do you know, like, where the hospital
is? Oh, that's how he knows.
You know, whichever hospital she's staying in, then all of a sudden he bursts through the glass window.
They don't really show him hopping around the roofs or anything, but you know how physically fit he is.
Oh, of course he is.
Maybe that'll be in the remake.
Yes.
But it's like, that's sort of like akin to the story of like, where the fuck did he get the balloon from, isn't it? But anyway, he rescues
her. We don't need to bother with these petty little details.
No,
he rescues her. It's being pedantic.
It is pedantic. And then pedantic.
Obviously, the ex finds out that he's rescued her.
Yes.
Turns up, gets his shotgun out, ready to like.
Great ending with lots of puking, lots of stumps.
Puking and stumps.
They're a great comedy duo, puking and stumps.
They were fantastic. Yeah,
saw them a few times.
And his big plan is what? Is to get the three of them, her, him, and the baby,
into the giant
one. One big
Brundle massacre.
Exactly.
Me and the baby.
You and me and the baby together. Does it work out?
That's the infamous cut scene, isn't it, that I was on about earlier.
Let's see about this infamous cut.
Hang on, let's have it.
This could be good.
Just having a little drink.
There is an infamous cutscene called the monkey cat scene.
Oh, the monkey cat scene.
I like the sound of that.
Bring it on.
When the film was originally shown, was cut because it was decided it was too graphic and was too
naughty.
Made Seth Brunner look too
nasty
and horrible. But basically what he does, it's leading up to the end of the film where he's going to merge all three of them together. And he gets an alley cat and the last baboon that's left and tries to merge them.
So there's three baboons.
No, it's two. The one that survives.
Oh, yeah.
That's what
you never
find out which happens to the one that survives.
No, where's that going?
And then it goes.
Yeah. Right. The baboons are us again.
Yeah.
Oh.
Send it back.
But basically what happens to it is he merges a cat and the baboon together.
Oh.
And he
a creates cartoon.
This... this cat baboon monster. That comes out and basically attacks him.
Wow.
And he beats it to death with a metal.
Did they film this?
Yeah, it's all filmed. It's on the DVD apparently. But
which one?
Never ever watched it.
Not on my fucker.
Which DVD is this?
There must have been a special edition.
Oh, we've got to see the
But
the
what it also shows you is that you know the scene where he climbed on the roof.
The boom bap,
for Gina Davis, and he says this.
For Gina Davis,
what do you think this lump is?
For Gina Davis.
Oh, it's his arm or something. Why do you have?
Yeah, and then an arm pops out.
Gina Davis.
Is he a football player?
But basically, that's it. Actually,
was it?
Yeah, that's a fantastic.
That's great, man. I love it.
We've got to Rob, buy it so I can watch it.
Download it, man, off the internet. You can get all this shit for free.
No, you can't get the flyer. Look, I've tried. It's not there.
I downloaded it today, man.
Did you?
Yeah,
I had no look at all with the
That's
car.
Killing the film industry, I don't
think. It is. I want to buy the special edition anyway. Where is it?
I want to see the kaboom boom.
Yeah, I want to see the kaboom cast.
That's what all these samples are off. Off of the film, off illegal
we
downloads.
Are completely illegal.
We're pirates, man.
We're going to get locked on by the law.
The FBI.
The law.
Anyway, let's finish this motherfucker off.
We've been here for hours, man.
Gina Davis, sort of, like, obviously, she managed to get out of the pod because her ex, even though she's
just get to the end. The shotgun boom, fly guts everywhere.
No, he saves her. He shoots the wire.
No.
Order.
Gina Davis in the pod. She gets locked up. X wakes up with a monkey arm, shoots her out.
And a monkey leg.
Brundle goes in, gets sort of transformed.
He shoots the wire, he doesn't shoot her out.
Exactly.
He shoots the wire.
It shoots the wire. It shoots the entire cast of an American Police show.
Yeah, boom. Have you seen that?
In Baltimore. Dull, boring, useless.
Yeah, and then he comes out sort of transformed.
Yes,
with the pod and the Brundle fly.
Yes, his Brundle fly pod.
Because it happens as the actual transformation. When he's getting out the door.
Yeah,
that's the instant when the transformation takes place, isn't it? So that's why he morphs into the pod.
Yeah, that's really sad.
And then at the end, Gina Davis can't really get the gun to shoot him, but she grabs
then he picks the gun up.
That's really sad, man. That bit is actually sort of, even though it's a horrific fully transformed now fly human creature and his little pincer claw pulling up that shotgun
it is sad.
But I don't know what it is. It's just a little blinking eye. And it's sort of, it's a bit teary, isn't it? The eye.
Yeah, it's awful. Like,
go on, kill me.
Grabs the shotgun.
He knows it's all over.
Yeah. Bang. That's it.
What a fucking fantastic
Johnny T's
film.
Acting it out with his Brundle fly mod.
Yeah, I'll put a picture of the fly on the blog so you can see my fly toy.
Let's have a look at your flies. Get your flies on the blog. We all want to see them.
So the last comment for this one.
At last.
Richard Gladman says he just wanted to say that Cronenberg's A Fly is a perfect example of a remake that works and was, for me, made for all the right reasons, very much like John Carpenter's The Thing.
Marvellous. Well done, everybody. Well done.
It's fantastic.
Jolly good.
It was.
And he gets a
Fascinating.
So to all the listeners who, alright, we've just spoiled all the film, but if you've not seen it or...
Oh, well, if they haven't seen it, then I've got nothing to say to them. Get a life, get out there. What are you thinking of?
Yeah,
it's a classic.
Like,
it's an absolute classic. It's 10
like
out of 10.
Your sort.
No, we don't. You don't come around here anymore if you've not seen The Fly. I mean,
for all us, obviously, like, you know, rewatch value if you've not seen it for how long, would you
rewatch
it? Rewatch
value? What's that? Is that some kind of Tesco talk?
No!
Get rewatch value at Tesco!
I hear Tesco, stop now!
Tesco Nazi.
No, but would you recommend it if you've not seen it?
Oh, hell yeah.
Would I recommend it to the viewers?
With a cigar,
if
man.
You've not seen it. Absolutely.
Yeah. Seen it in a while.
Of course I'd recommend it. It's a classic. Yeah. I like the second one too, the Chris Wallace follow-up. But that's also great. Really it's good. I really enjoyed it. I liked them both.
But definitely, if you haven't watched it, watch it. But if you have watched it, watch it again.
Before you watch that, watch
it. If you're watching it at the moment, watch it again straight afterwards. It's that good.
But before you watch that, watch Videodrome, Shivers, Scanners, and Rabid, and The Brood, and get to know Cronenberg, get to know the flesh, get to know the man, get to know the psychology behind his films.
So on that point, we might come back with another Cronenberg for next one.
Oh, I think we should.
The Baron of Blood.
Until we
probably the best director in the world.
Until we do, long live the new flesh.
Hey!
See you soon. Thanks for listening.
Bye. Bye.
See you next time.
Bye.
Six eyes, I got a garbage brain that's driving me insane. And I don't like a ride, so push the best aside. And baby, I won't care, cause baby, I don't scare. Cause I'm a reborn maggot using gym warfare. Right. I'm a human fly. I spit a little while. I say buzz, and it's just because I'm a unzipped fly, and I don't know why. I don't know why, but I say rock tonight, and I say rock it right, and I say but I don't know why. Just don't know why.